serious, man. You cannot be serious!
We can, about an hour ago, say, why don't we get him in? And you wouldn't believe it, who is sitting opposite me and next to you right now. This is the man of the moment. This is...
Why the moment?
Yeah. What's going on, Sam?
Well, you haven't been caught up with the papers or any chat about what might be or might not be happening with the Essendon Football Club.
Is this the Silver's Nightclub? Oh, that music really got me going then.
That's it.
Oh,
just a minute before we introduce you, don't speak. So we didn't get him in for this reason because I'd asked him several weeks ago could he come, but the COVID restrictions precluded him from being here. But now it's okay because Dan has, I don't know what Dan's done, he's relaxed something, maybe his bowels, I'm not sure what he's done. Oh. But he is in here because he is the man of the moment, but we didn't get him in for this reason. You say I take a long time to introduce people. This man is AFL, VFL football. There's no doubt about that. He is what the game is about. He oversaw the great regime of Essendon. He's overseen the Greater West Sydney coming onto the map. He's a legend of the AFL.
I was just going to ask him, is he a legend yet?
He has been made a legend.
Well done.
Only my mirror. Boy.
When did you get that, Kev?
A year or so ago.
Yeah. A year or so ago.
So, Don,
well done.
Nice to see you've done some research, Don. You're still speaking to him. I haven't introduced him yet. You introduce who we've got.
Kevin Sheedy.
Kevin Sheedy.
Very good.
We said we will try and get you in because the previous segment we said, wouldn't it be great if we could get Kev in? And we've given him a ring and in he's come.
It's
so, firstly, welcome. Before we get on to more topical matters, you could have gone on to the ABC and taken over from Kevin Hines, who did a show called So What? Yeah, no, that's Alan Seal. That was Alan. Alan Seal did lace bugs and mops, and you can spray with the. That was Alan Seal.
Okay.
Kevin Hines is the man who made these famous quotes. He said, "Hello,
cheerio.
I'm Kevin Hines. Tonight I'm going to pot Iris." And then he said, "I watched one show, and he said, "Hello, it's Kevin Hines here. Tonight I'm going to plant Rose up against a wall." You think I'm making that up?
No.
I said, and I'm going to dig up Daphne and replant her. So you have a... I've been out to your house, Kevin Sheedy. I've been out to your house. You have a magnificent horticultural display. You are the equivalent of the botanical gardens out where you live.
I'm hanging in there with my garden, but it's good.
How
many acres you got, Kev?
I have 1 acre.
But 1 acre.
1 acre next to 4.
And we won't tell people where you live, but you've been out there for 35 years.
Warrandyte. It's a big area, Warrandyte, and you won't find
it. It's shit country, though, Warrandyte.
Thank you, Don.
Beautiful area.
Well, it's all rocky, bull ant country. What have you done to improve the soil, Kev?
It's
got the beautiful Yarra River flowing through Warrandyte. It's a pretty little
country. So you're tapping into
pretty little country area, and no one knows where we are. It's beautiful.
So this is how we roll, Kevin. I say you've got a beautiful place out there with the great horticultural botanical gardens, and Don says, it's shit country out there, so this is how we roll. Yeah. I bunk you up and Don brings you down.
That's okay. I've had a big ride in
my life. It is your great passion, isn't it? I know it is because you showed me around your garden and I'm interested in it as well. But you are absolutely into it, and it probably is the great relaxation from the rigours and traumas of what you used to do.
Over the many years of footy, yes. It's been good. I mean, Don has horses and you have people and cars.
Yes.
But it's a genuine interest because when you were playing football, I couldn't believe you were interested in the garden in Glen Iris, in your Glen Iris home.
Yeah, I did. I was there. Yeah, that's right. Well, John Kennedy was a person that loved gardening.
He's into market gardening.
Yeah, I got my veggie patch.
Have you really?
Yeah, of course.
I thought you might have been into roses and so forth.
I got 100 rose bushes. Mate.
Have you?
No, he grows his own vegetables.
Really?
Nothing wrong with that.
Kevin.
I mean, Italians can't have everything.
Fantastic you grow your own vegetables. You're out there with Geraldine and... all the kids.
Hey, listen, do you reflect on your life where you could have been? I go back to when you're driving a silver Celica back in the 70s.
Gee, you've got a good memory.
And I just remembered you Are you grateful it was a cow and not a bull that you ran into that night on the way?
Philip Island, yeah, that was Lang Lang. How do you know that?
Oh, I know a couple of things. So was it a cow or a bull? And if it was a bull, you mightn't be sitting here today.
No, well, the cow flipped over the top of the Celica, thank goodness, and because it was a low, obviously the car, the Celica was a very low car.
Can we hear Kevin speaking?
Can you?
Or, no,
I don't talk.
No, I was just looking at the monitor. We have people who can't hear Don speak. We want to hear the main man speak.
Okay, right. No, no, that was a very unfortunate accident. Yeah.
So how
a black cow in the middle of the road around Lang Lang, and
in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, yeah. I was flying home, so. But look, you know, I've had a few.
Did it wipe the car out?
Yeah.
So you were pretty lucky.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
And had it been a bull. Well, it might have been different because bulls are bigger than cows.
I fell asleep when I was in the army and drove off the highway at Singleton and hit three poles. So I'm still.
You're joking.
No, that was a secret.
You're in the army. That was subscription? No, what do you call it?
Yeah. Conscription.
Conscription. Sorry, Don. Conscription.
It was all a con.
Yeah.
But that was the first time I had isolation. And this is the second
Hang
time.
Hang on. Now, this wasn't reported when you were playing football.
Why don't I tell everybody everything?
No, but this is when you were actually playing.
Yeah, we won a premiership in 69. Monday I was in the army. 3 months later, I'm nearly dead.
Yeah.
No one would have picked. No. No one in Singleton would know AFL or VFL footy in those days.
Singleton.
But even the cow.
Singleton, base, Singleton up and, you know, on the highway.
The cow incident didn't get any publicity either.
No, no. Well, I try and keep it under the radar, a lot of that sort of stuff.
But, of course, he hadn't become famous.
He was. He was the first promotions officer in the AFL, or VFL as it was back in those days.
He has done his homework.
Well, I know. I remember certain things, Kevin.
Yeah.
How he walked down High Street looking for clothing with Jack Hamilton in 1978 in London.
In London.
What else do you want to know?
I was trying to upmarket my clothes while I'm walking with you.
Exactly, the fancy Dan there.
Harry Beitzel's tour, that was one.
Yeah.
Harry Beitzel.
He was a generous man, wasn't he, Harry?
I'm a Harry Beitzel fan.
I understand.
Okay. Yep.
Good. No, we're happy with that.
He put a lot of great opportunities for young people like us in that time. And really, he was the first person that instigated a connection and bridge building exercise between Irish sport and AFL or VFL in those days. And since then, about 50 players have come across. And that Tui on the half-back flank at Geelong.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
200 game player.
Yes.
That's the classic at the moment. 200 games, comes out of Ireland. And he's as good as any player.
Well, it gives them a start, though, because Gaelic is still amateur. Gaelic football is still amateur in Ireland, and at least gives the boys, they have the opportunity to soccer. There's been a couple of boys who played for Arsenal. He was a big centre forward. He played Gaelic, went across and played. So they got a choice, either soccer or Australian rules.
Well, I wouldn't have soccer there for many years.
No.
Because of the black and tan
history
of them all getting slaughtered.
But even going back to that trip, I often reflect on it. We were away for 4 weeks, all expenses paid, and we got spending money as well from Harry. It was just an incredible exercise, wasn't it?
No, he was. And, like, we left Calvin Templeton in Edinburgh with a busted...
Yeah, lung or something.
Yeah, and then...
Bernie Quinlan ran into a bit of strife too, didn't he? We won't go into that.
Yeah, well, I broke my leg, and so did Albert Martello. Sorry, not Albert, Alan Martello, your centre-half forward. And so we're both sitting in the Dublin hospital looking at each other, and we're about 50 in queue, and we've got legs both broken, and you'll have to wait. Yes, we're very busy today. You're going to have to wait for a while.
Oh, God.
And our legs are just about blowing up, and I'm thought to myself... And we're going to get up. It was like sitting in a church with all these pews. You know, we're 58. I'll never forget Alan, mate.
we just looked at each other and said, mate,
we're gone here.
Yeah.
Straight while the game's still being played, the game's going on and we're sitting in the hospital.
So welcome to the Don and Kevin travelogue of yesteryear. This is just drifting through the years as life passes us by, as they've gone around the world experiencing...
You said anything happens on this show, so I'm happy with that.
So, Kevin.
Can you tell the audience to keep quiet?
You played 251 games for Richmond.
Oh, I turned up.
What?
I turned up 251 times.
You played in three premierships?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you have either coached or played all but 1,000 games of, of probably 930-odd or 20 or whatever, but we'll say 1,000. Many people do an apprenticeship before they go coaching. I think I've got this right. You went from playing to Essendon to coach, did you?
No.
You didn't coach anyone in between, did you?
I was assistant coach with Tony Jewell at Richmond.
For how long?
A year and a half.
What?
A year and a half.
And you were doing media as well too,
correct,
weren't you?
Yep.
No, and then you thought. How did you...
I thought.
This is probably well documented, yeah, but how did you come to go to Essendon and stay there for a quarter of a century?
Well, I'd been offered the job earlier.
What? Who offered it?
Essendon.
Who?
Alan Hurd and a group of people that interviewed me in
1976. James's...
grandfather.
Grandfather.
So that happened in 76.
What did they see in you, Kevin, please?
I have no idea, but I
but you were still playing in 76.
Yeah. Yeah, it was only one best and fairest in my whole life. It was a good year, so they come and talk to me.
Yeah.
But Lindsay Thompson, the Premier, had mentioned to Alan Hurd that if you were going to, Alan Hurd had asked him if he got any decent coaches possibly coming through maybe at Richmond one day. And so Lindsay Thompson said to Alan Hurd he would be the one I would pick.
I see.
And that's how for 5 years I had to get
so what did they think? What great foresight, incidentally, but what did they think you had that separated you from the rest of the people they may have been interested in? Because you're probably never going to assemble any rockets with a view to putting them on the moon,
no,
like us.
No.
We're not nuclear physicists, but what did they think? What did they think you had? And that's a compliment, incidentally.
I probably had an attitude. Yeah, it's probably one of my better skills, like he has and you do and some of us have. And that attitude was to make sure that you don't waste your life, which I didn't intend doing. And so in the end, I didn't take the job at that time. A friend of mine, David Efron, who was... I was training at Stan Nichols Gym in the mornings down in Caulfield. So I'd get up out of Richmond and off down to Stan's. And he said, mate, we've got to get you over to all of that sort of catering people at Essendon. Brian from Brian's Speed Shop, Brian Davies.
Yeah, right there.
So him and Brian Davies and David Efron were just kept hammering me. And all those functions that we used to do at lunchtime on Fridays.
Yes.
At the old Melbourne.
Yes, exactly.
Right, so that's where
I met. As well.
So we had meetings there and then eventually got to meet after that. I got interviewed for 2 years by Colin Stubbs, the then president.
So I presume they would have seen in you that you get people to play for you, but you don't take any bullshit from people who are under your tutelage.
We don't have to do that.
Hey?
You don't have to do that. Of course, you're representing the people of your club, whether it's Hawthorn or Geelong or whoever you're barrack for, Collingwood. I mean, that's what happens.
You gave me some good advice back then. When you went to Essendon, I spoke to you and you said... and you didn't do anything. You went in there. You didn't take your entourage with you. You went in, sussed it out. Then you started to make your changes or insert your opinion or get your way. How long did that take you to start to feel comfortable enough in order to project yourself in that manner?
Well, after losing five of my first six games, it was very difficult to be very confident to tell everybody that I know what I'm doing. But, you know, I had to front the board and after about 6 or 7 weeks, and it just explained to me, I think we're a better footy team now than what we have been the last 2 years. We'd sort of been beaten by a goal or by Richmond in round three, I think it was, in 81. Now, this premiership team the year before. So we were playing well against Geelong, who I think finished third in 80, so about.
Yes. Yep.
So we're playing well against, but can't win at the moment. So I defended myself at the board meeting, saying, "Look, we're playing really well." They said, "How do you think you're going?" I said, "I'm going well," not knowing that I was coming up to be actually challenged about the way and why we're losing.
Yeah.
So that was a bit awkward because I just signed a 3-year contract and I'm going to try and get this club right. Anyway, it was very difficult, awkward because you know I was only 32 or 3. You know, I wasn't a very older person to get the job, and.
What was that? You well, were older.
I wasn't a very old.
No, coach. You weren't very old. Yep, yep.
So, and look, I had a very good, strong passion to coach Essendon because I've been following Essendon since about 1955. So people say to you, you've been at Essendon a long time. Well, I've been at Essendon since 1955, interrupted by Richmond.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it like that. You know, Don Barry, he comes out of Blackburn somewhere and you come out of wherever you come out of. And we all grew up different, that's all. And I followed Essendon with a little black and red jumper on since about, I remember, 54, 55. And my first grand finals were 56, 7, 8.
Okay, so you're not just a blow into Essendon. And you didn't just...
Exactly, and I think that's what the article the other week was about, is that I understand my history of the club.
Well, we'll get onto the article, because we didn't get you in. That's just fortuitously happened in the last week.
We don't have to discuss that.
No, we're going to just... Don't worry about that. We're going to discuss
that.
Well,
I'll discuss
that. That's right. So
but
you
this is a chat show, isn't
so,
it?
So this, so
it's a chat show, isn't it?
It is exactly correct. Right, Kevin. Okay. If you want to dispute anything we say or chat to us, you go right ahead. Right. So you would have, Kevin, decided how to put a side together with a view to success, like a disciplined backline, some power forwards,
all those things.
The game hadn't degenerated in, this is my words, I'm not saying you're saying this, degenerated into that kicking backwards and holding the ball and chipping, hadn't degenerated into that you started.
It's a bit of a sad game at the moment like that.
Yeah. And, well, thank you for saying that, mate.
I'm home writing up my game that I think we should be watching from 2025 onwards. So I'm writing it up now as you've interrupted me, okay? I will be home writing what I think should be the game.
Really?
Why shouldn't I?
No, you should.
Exactly.
That's exactly what people like you should do to save the spectacle of our game. Yeah. Not the. It's very popular, but don't forget that it aesthetically has to be pleasing or we'll fall by the wayside. We won't fall by the wayside.
I understand.
But who's asked you to do this?
No one. I don't have to be asked to do this. I would love to do it in my own peace of mind for young people today that could see a game that's not reaching its full potential.
So just let me clarify that. You're writing a synopsis.
Well, somebody wrote the rules, 10 rules.
Ben Smith?
No.
Wills?
I'm going right back to Tom Wills. Tom
Wills.
Tommy Wills from New South Wales.
So you're writing a paradigm or a synopsis
I just would like to get it sorted.
And who's writing it? You are doing it.
Yeah,
and who are you going to present it to? Us.
Well, you don't have to present
it. I don't have to present it to anybody until I'm finished with it. And get other people's opinions.
No, I'm not sure that you want to get too many other people's opinions. Your opinion would probably be just the opinion.
Yeah, you don't get too many chefs.
It can't be your opinion if you're getting other people's opinions.
Right, I think we should get this man back because...
I'm out of here in 5 minutes. This is getting too heavy.
Get this man back.
I want to talk about... Well, you mentioned it about what you were doing. Back in 1964, Len Smith did it.
Yes.
And no different to what you're doing. He was in hospital prior to coaching Richmond. He had a heart heart attack. So he wrote down his 10 golden rules, but it finished up being 37 pages. Now, I don't know if you want to go through them, but has the game changed? Get the ball through the goals as quick. This is number one. And as efficiently as possible. Has it changed?
For some clubs, yes. For Richmond at the moment, they are quick. And they move it quick.
But they've just changed because someone's realised that we'll break the mould.
Well, that's good.
Of course it's good.
But what I'm trying to say is he wrote this in 64. Yeah, still applies today, doesn't
it? Good. Well, that's the exciting football.
What about two men together at all times? You know, you run to assist or run to help your teammate.
I like that.
No packs or crushes, he said. They're the ruination of the game.
Correct.
So I'm coming back to this, you are writing a thesis. These are my words. You're writing a thesis on how this game should be played and how we can save it from degenerating into a non-attractive spectacle. And you're so serious about this because it's been your passion that you're going to actually do something about it instead of talking about it. And that I admire you for.
You can just put it there and people can pick the hell out of it. But I don't like many aspects of the game at the moment.
Okay. See, Don and I don't either, and people say, oh, you're living in the past.
But of course I do, because they don't know. And, you know, we know what the game should be like. We know the potential that the game has that we think it could be an unbelievable game. You know, going from when, you know, probably the 70s, 80s, 90s, yep. maybe at 2000, I reckon, after that, the last 10 to 15 years has got wobbly, I think. Probably the last 10 to 15 years, okay?
Absolutely.
So, and I think that we need to be very careful, that's all.
So you've coached the Bombers to 4 premierships?
8 hours of happiness.
A pardon?
8 hours of happiness.
Yeah, 8 minutes of happiness us when we have sex, Don, 8 minutes.
I'm not,
if you bite on a damp... If you bite on a damp hanky, you can get an extra minute out of yourself.
I'm just telling you, don't go there.
No, okay. 84, 85, 93, 2000. Limited success from the Bombers since you departed.
That's
is it all true. Cyclical or there's a greater aspect of why that's happened, of course?
Getting the right people to your club's crucial.
I mean, what, administratively both, or both, playing?
Both. I mean, somewhere... Well, you've been through that with Hawthorn. I mean, well, your club has nearly gone out of the AFL into a merged club with Melbourne, and thank goodness that didn't happen. But Ian Dicker and yourself and a group of Hawthorn people finally got together. I don't know who picked the Angry Ant, but he's been a fantastic coach for Hawthorn, hasn't he?
So you coached Essendon for... almost an unheard of three decades, over three decades, right?
No, it's 27 years.
When did you start?
81.
81, and did you coach in the 90s?
Yeah.
And did you coach in the, did you coach after
It's not 3 decades, it's 27 years. Only two people in the world have done 27 years.
Did you coach?
Nelson Mandela and myself.
Did you coach? Did you coach after 2000?
Not Essendon.
Did you?
Oh, Essendon, 2007, 7 years, yeah.
So 80, 90 and 2000 is 3 decades. I said you coached over 3 decades.
Listen.
Over the period of 3 decades.
We'll say it correctly.
Say it correctly. That is correct. You coached, I'm giving you a compliment. You coached over the...
I didn't coach in 2000. 19.
Oh, jeez.
So
he does all this stuff.
So what are the battles that you had at Essendon?
None. Hardly had any battles.
You had a good team when you...
finished the question.
You had a good team when you started.
It was an ordinary team.
It wasn't, Kevin.
Mate, can I tell you?
They needed just a little bit of shit put in them. Well, you put a bit of shit in them, didn't you?
Well, you said he had a great team when he started. He didn't.
I mean, ability-wise.
Yeah, look, we kept 10 and cleared 33.
Yeah, that's how good they were.
Also, I think it's a great example of an administration, and I think a lot of other clubs should follow what Essendon set up there. They had a lot of successful past players on their committee. A number of them became presidents and leaders of the club.
Correct.
And so they had a knowledge of the product as well as the ability to do it, to administer.
But that, look, when you get a guy like Ron Evans who had the balance of finance... as well as football knowledge, he had a very, very...
Well, Greg Sewell?
Greg Sewell was probably more football-orientated. And I would say that Evans had a balance.
David Shaw?
Oh, yeah, the balance. He's played in premierships and played well.
Well, you had a committee of Eppers, Don McKenzie. I think Ken Fraser might have been there.
Brian Donohoe was probably the best one that supported
me. He was your chairman of selectors.
He was the best by a mile. I rate him very highly with Graham Richmond and Alan Schwab's people at Jack Hamlin that I learned a hell of a lot of.
Yeah. So I went to ask you this question. You answered it before I'd finished it because thought it was going to lead up a path you didn't want to go. You had some battles, surely, with over the 3 decades you coached at Essendon. Yeah. You had some battles on... with the players and the hierarchy, I'm sure. What were the main things that annoyed you about the intrusion into, because you're a confident and arrogant man because you know you're good at what you do.
Don't look at yourself in the mirror while you're talking to me, okay?
So did you disagree with the intrusion that people put on you were coaching?
Look, I think that some people would like to probably control me and get me back into the and corral me back into what my job was coaching, because the difficulties is trying to be at a club for a long time, okay?
Over 3 decades.
Anyway, so we did hit some barriers, and you can't keep up on top all the time. As you can see, you know, Alistair Clark is going to go through probably what I went through, you know, 4 or 5 times.
Did you have some robust discussions with them and call their bluff, say, mate, you'll either do it this way, please, or if you don't want me, get rid of me? Did you actually ever give them
it
an
got close to that.
How many times, Kevin?
Probably four.
Four or five.
It was over 27 years.
But you were a master of deflection, weren't you, in as much as bring up an argument and you'd set them back a little bit, or the media especially.
You're a great salesman. No, that's good.
I'm only saying to you that after we left Windy Hill, which was great to leave Windy Hill, I was a big supporter of leaving Windy Hill and supporting Rod Evans to get out of there, because our club would probably not be in existence. It would be no different than Hawthorn losing Glenfrey Oval and Richmond leaving Punt Road, who were the courageous ones that first did it, because you had a useless MCG. Absolutely disgraceful piece of real estate not being used.
Yep.
Melbourne Footy Club, 9 times a year, when there was an 18-game season, 4 VFL finals and a Boxing Day test. So it'll just rack up 20 days of fantastic entertainment over 352 days or whatever it is a year. Embarrassing. That is just embarrassing, that a great, intelligent state of Victoria would only use the best piece of real estate. So for us to get in there as quick as we could, after the Tigers had got there, in the mid-60s.
North Melbourne were there before you too.
Friday nights, and that was great. And Aylett and those boys were always terrific at trying to rattle a cage and get things done. But that doesn't mean you can't have multi-purpose games, like what we have now.
Yeah, no, but so you cemented that relationship with the MCG by instigating the Anzac Day.
Correct.
Game between you and Collingwood, much to the chagrin of most of the competition, because they thought we've had a march stolen on us here. He's taken the carpet from under our feet, because this is a huge revenue base for the both clubs.
Well, we had to. I mean, Ron had sent me overseas to Disney World, Florida, to do an innovation course, and you can imagine me going. Well, I've been to America a few times with Mel Brown, a few of the boys, and when I was in my playing days at Richmond.
Yeah.
And that was the most unbelievable journey I'd had. And then the other one was to Ireland with Don and Harry and all the boys when we played. But look, it really opened my eyes, you know, because I had a very blinkered upbringing, living in, you know, mum and dad, 7 kids there.
We are just plumber.
All that stuff here. But when you go overseas and you do a course in America for a week on innovating something you couldn't even think of, and then adding a clause in your contract that you will now help market the club as well as try and win premierships. That was not in my mind about when I took over Essendon.
Did you add that in, or did the club ask you?
The club asked me. You can't take 20,000 from Windy Hill and go to the MCG and think you're going to make money. You'll go broke and straight out of the competition. You must build the crowds at the MCG.
So you went to Disneyland and there was a symposium or a conference?
No, they have courses over there. Everyone goes to Harvard.
About how to be innovative.
Everyone
innovative,
goes to,
Don.
Yeah, innovative. But I went to Disney World, Florida, and most people go to Harvard.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
Okay, lateral thinking.
I went to Florida, and they went north.
And you brought back the concept of putting on a marquee...
An opportunity.
A marquee game every year that would fill probably the most
years.
Popular game that goes beside the grand final. Anzac Day game.
Technically, it's probably gets more people than any other codes grand finals. Our Anzac Day.
And that's what you brought back from Disneyland, concept of a marquee game.
It makes you think. You have a think tank then. You go and get your little rubbish bin on wheels and you put all your ideas in it and then say, won't work, will, nope, maybe. Who would you have to ring? And you're doing all this while you're coaching, by the way. And people used to say, what do you do? I said, well, I think.
When it comes to coaching?
Both, yeah.
Marketing and coaching, and then you Then you instigated the Dreamtime game, didn't you, at the G?
Yeah, with, yeah.
No, well, did you or not?
Yeah, of course.
Is that your idea?
Yeah, well.
Well, yeah. That's right. So you've been responsible for two of the greatest draw cards besides the finals or the grand final.
It was 180,000, average nine last time. 95 for Antique Day and 85.
And where did you... Where did you get the idea of a Dreamtime game to celebrate Aboriginal culture? Where did you get that from?
Well, there's a friend of mine, Philip Warbridge. She used to hammered me over giving Collingwood Anzac Day. He's a mad Tiger fan in the religious order. Loved his passionate Tigers. What are you going to do? And in the end, I think we sat down at the Hilton. Had a quiet chat about get over it. We're never going to change Anzac Day, so we'll create another game for you. And I had to think about that for a year or two because it's not easy to get these ideas across the board. They take a while, like the country game. So in the end, it was quite simple that the colours of Richmond were black and yellow and red, and Richmond and Essendon, yep. and then of course Rioli and Long.
Yeah, black and yellow and red, and that was part of the. Lateral thinking of yours, that would be symbolic?
Edward de Bono is a very lateral thinker.
Yes, I know, Edward de Bono.
And he's
yeah.
got his six coloured hats.
Yeah, I know.
And the word of Dreamtime I love because there was an artist in Adelaide called Ainsley Roberts who created his art in Dreamtime
yep.
from living with the Aboriginal people
yep.
in the central of Australia. And his books are unbelievable.
Is that kicking on the clay pan? That's not that...
I don't know.
No, that's the AFL symbol of Indigenous football, isn't it? Kicking on the clay pan.
I don't know what the AFL do. I just ask. I'll get that up.
I'll show you.
It's okay. It's a piece of art. Isn't
yeah,
it?
It's a great piece of art. It's their.
All I like to do is create ideas and.
It's their masthead, I think.
Is it
the AFL's? Okay. We'll get it up in a minute. We'll get Rocket Rod here to do it. So they're
the fun things.
So. With this lateral thinking, Edward de Bono, what do you think the AFL could do in the future to promote? You've got the Dreamtime game and the Anzac Day game. What else have you got in the back of your brain there?
The country game's going well.
What's that?
The country game is between Geelong and Essendon is going to be an absolute monster success. Unfortunately, COVID this year has knocked it on the head a little bit, but... You know, Geelong being a regional sort of area in the AFL, we needed to get country people and city people closer together. And basically the kids in the city get to understand the fantastic people who live out and operate their lives in the country, particularly with the floods, the bushfires and the droughts that we've had, because we're a sort of a country that we go through a fair bit of crap, you know, in nature, you know, and... Yeah, so like last Christmas going up to New South Wales and the Princes Highway, I just stopped all the way up taking photos of all the bushfires because my father came out of a place called Mozzie Face, Baruthan area.
Yes.
And so unfortunately I can't get there because we need to do some functions for those people up there to help raise some money because a lot of people in diabolical strife still.
Yep.
But I did last month do a Zoom for... the area of the Bega Shire, which is just over the south.
Better buy Bega.
Bega cheese area, you know. But that area there, they had an enormous amount of bushfires, you know. And so all I'm saying is because you get around Australia, you get to understand what happens in South Australia, went over to the Kangaroo Island, half the island was just burnt, just about smashed. And they need help too. So in my spare time, which we don't always have, you just get out and try and help people that need a bit of blasted help. Simple as that, John, Sammy.
Yeah, I'm just getting the
picture. Don't lose your Don.
Now, Kevin, three coaches in our time.
Three coaches.
Ron Brassey.
Superstar.
Yes, but as a coach, David Parkin and yourself, you all added to what football is now and which I don't like. Now, Ron, got the football off the back page of the Sun. It used to always be on the back page of the Sun, but it went in because teams didn't line up the way they were named in the paper. So it took
oh, yes.
people's, you know, they'd sit there on the Friday morning and you say, oh, yeah, Somerville's against so-and-so, or so that's going to be an interesting battle.
Yes.
And the teams lined up as they were selected. But Ron, with his dropping players into dugouts before they played the game and all the and tricks, shuffling, the, you know, took the that side away. David Parkin, I've told him, he ruined the game with this terminology. And everybody seemed to have added on. He started with the centre corridor and his longs, his talls, his mids, and they've all added to that. Now the language of football, I just do not understand. Yeah. And your contribution, as far as I'm concerned, to the down, is the pushing of extra reserves on the ground. I thought I thought it was 19th and 20th.
Yeah.
It was abused. It became interchange, and that was abused. But then you push for more. And I thought the uniqueness of the game was taken away because of the 19th and 20th man.
Mm. Look, that's a fair enough comment. But, like, we didn't need to be sending injured players back on the ground, which was what was happening. And to be honest, it took 6 years to get those changes through, which is okay. It's been abused, obviously, now because of the rotations, which is like the Rachel Crowe's line. You kick a goal and get off the ground, which is just, you know, unbelievably ridiculous. So I'm not going to apologise for it, because I think the coaches of the day have ruined that part of that decision. Was there mainly to make sure that we would have injured players not going back on the ground. And so the administrators should have stopped the rotation.
Exactly.
And the administrator should have said no. And the administrators actually should have said, you'll have only 40, maybe 50, and I've heard Kevin Bartlett discuss this, that only maybe 40 to 50 rotations should be in a game. And then we'll see if you keep taking great players off the ground after they kick a goal, which is just ridiculous.
This will be in your thesis when you release the...
But it's also a coaching feat back when they had 19th and 20th man. Now, they'd finished some games with 17 men. Now, you'd have to hide one man. Your reserves were injured, so they couldn't come back on, or you'd made the replacement. Yet it came back to the coach to make a move, a significant move, to hide that injured player and still have a very good team.
Yeah, so my problem in the end, Dom, was that we've got half the people sitting in the grandstand that should be still playing in this game.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you've got the reserves sitting in the grandstand. Just imagine if you lose a grand final because you got 300 players in a grand, and you lost the grand
final. That's the nature of the game.
No, that's the way, right, the game ended up. What you have to do is keep adjusting the sails to get the game to where we should have it taken to. Now, if otherwise, go back to one, which we used to have.
One what?
Interchange.
Yeah, okay. They did. Yeah, okay. Way back. Yeah, they did.
So, you know, you're going to have to be able to be a flexible enough visionary person, not out there, but just enough to say, look, we need an adjustment here. And that's no different than happens in every business case in our economy. The same on our sport. It's as simple as
that. Right. Now, you know, we're going to ask you this.
I feel like I'm in Russia here. Help me one.
You can speak dispassionately about this because you weren't there. What? The drug supplements scandal saga at Essendon robbed it of its credibility.
It's
its
always
history.
About the first half hour. Now we're really going to get into what you want to get off your little...
People listening to this who are football followers, or particularly Essendon followers, will want to know your attitude. If you had been at that club in some managerial, presidential or whatever position, how would you have handled that? And what is your great thoughts of what has gone on at that club? Because it, no matter what you say, it has completely dislocated it.
It hasn't helped.
Now, go on. Now, give us...
It hasn't helped. But
straight. Look, give us it straight.
Well, it wouldn't have happened if I was around the club. You know that. Because Dank would never got in our club. And neither would Robertson. It's as simple as that. So I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happens.
Well, so your great friend, James Heard and Mark Thompson?
Yeah, they make a decision.
But yes, they said, I've spoken to, not Thompson, but I've spoken to Heard, and he has said publicly that he asked a supplements regime to come in, but don't do anything illegal. Yeah. Now, if they'd come to you and said that, you'd said, right, we'll go for a supplement scheme, but don't do anything illegal.
Correct.
So how would you have stopped that?
Well, you make sure that you actually got everybody overseen and it's done correctly. And that's the problem, because you never know ever what's in a needle, do you? As a matter of fact, I had a melanoma cancer operation, right?
Yep.
And I actually looked up at, and this is, the guy couldn't believe it, the surgeon. I said, now, look, I just want to know what's in the needle.
Yes. Okay.
He just looked at me strange.
So what happens?
And he said, why? I said, well, because Andrew Demetrio might want to know. Well, they just burst out laughing. I said, because you never know what's in a needle. You go and get a flu injection, you have no idea what's in a needle. That's the problem, and I'm leaving the answer at that.
So if James Heard or whoever said to Dank, tell us what's in this injection, and he said,
hold Coca-Cola list, or, you know,
yeah,
or
whole list of things that weren't illegal, because why would he say any of them were illegal? You'd say, okay, we'll inject our players with this if it gives us a small advantage. How could you? They were never ever accused of it. They were never ever found guilty of injecting anything illegal into their players at all. Mm. And they never will be found guilty. So how did it get to this saga?
Because I don't know. I wasn't there.
Would this be reason enough for you to go? But this is on the back of all this news going on now. Would this be reason enough for you to go back and take over that club in some sort of way? Why not?
No, because listen, I'll be there to assist when they ask me about any advice they'd like. That's what my capabilities are. I'm not a detective running around, whether it's in supplement sagas or, you know, who recruited this or, you know, who's tough and strong and not. I mean,
so that's, if they asked you to come back,
I'll get just advise what I think could
they
be done.
They asked you to come back, and I'm not trying to get rid of
you
the current...
You are back, though, aren't you, in the
market? I'm working in the marketing area.
I'm not trying to get
rid
of the
current... Are you still there, or have you been put off?
I haven't been put off.
Okay.
This is not a coup to get rid of the current president, so don't please. But if they asked you...
Probably because I'm only one living legend alive at the club.
That's right. So if they asked you to come back in a very serious position, like the president, say... No, not trying
won't
to get,
happen.
Why not?
Because it won't happen. I'm telling you, I'm not in that area. I don't have myself in that area. I can
you
advise
delegate.
In the footy area.
You delegate your authority. You don't have to be an expert at it.
I'm just letting you know that won't happen.
A lot of people are upset with what's going on at Essendon, and good people. I know very good people at Essendon.
Yeah, and a lot of good people at Essendon.
And they're all very, very upset with what's going on. Even Dean Wallace came out last week in a very strong article accusing of sexual harassment.
Last week.
In the paper.
Yeah, drug taking.
He said cocaine, sexual harassment and fraud. He took the case, I think, to WorkCover or was...
I don't know about that. I didn't know.
That was in the paper last week.
Okay.
You said under your breath then, Dean Wallace...
No, I didn't. He's a good person. Dean Wallace is a good person, yeah.
No, you said under your breath he's a good person, meaning he's a good person. Yeah. So you must agree with...
No, don't listen to me. Don't start shoving words down my throat saying, I've come in here to talk about footy... Okay. And
well, if he's
so you're not going to go there.
I will not go on the board, and I will not go on the board, right? And I'll just help the new chairman, Paul Brasher. Is any advice I can give him? I'll be happy to do that.
Footy director. Hello.
That means you're on the board.
director of football. You'd have a special title. Kevin Sheedy on the office door. Kevin Sheedy, director of football.
Yeah, I don't know where that will happen. Okay.
So you're open to it?
I can just give advice, that's all.
Well, in other words, you're open to it.
I don't like big titles.
Okay. Now, look, the other team that you were involved with, and I think that's the greatest travesty of justice, this team hasn't won numerous premierships by now, and that's Greater Western Sydney. When you started up there, I've never seen a team with so much talent. And it was just a delight to watch them for two quarters. They weren't physically strong enough to see out a game, but they could serve it up for maybe two quarters at the best. It was just a case of maturity. It's never come. Is there something lacking there? Too much talent, not enough grunt in the side?
No, look, I think, well, it's a bit of everything. I think the Giants have done unbelievably well. They're the quickest team to a grand final in the history of footy. Okay? Quickest.
What, quicker than West Coast?
I would think that there wouldn't be much in it. But they won the premiership, obviously.
Yeah.
Definitely of a northern states club. Just remember, we're in Western Sydney. We're not in Perth, West Australia, where everybody loves.
But you had unbelievable talent.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there is. I think the talent was overrated.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, jeez, I saw those kids do some mercurial
things. Go and have a look at the 2012 draft, right? They pick the first boys very good, and the rest, see you later. Okay? So pick one, very good. And the next four or five picks, very ordinary. As a matter of fact, they paid four picks.
They had
the
2 years,
The Giants had four picks before Grundy and didn't pick anyone as good as Grundy in those four picks. So, number one pick, tick. The next four, not that good. So, everybody says the Giants got everything going for them. What they did have, they had two drafts. And everybody here in Melbourne complained about they've got too much.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So they slice off their finances. They trim everything back, so you've got to get rid of players. 25 players got cleared to other clubs.
Okay? Why was that, Kevin? Because, for that reason, or the finance. Players wanted to come back?
Not necessarily. No. Not necessarily. They probably got better offers. The Collingwood set midfield, it would be Hosking, Elliott, Taylor Adams and Adam Chalor. There's Collingwood's midfield, right? So that's one line. Then you go over to, Essendon's got three for a start. So they just cleared, basically, Bruce is at St Kilda and Footscray and wherever. Hawthorn bellowed the hell out of the Gold Coast, really. So every club's taken players from them. And everybody's saying, you know, this is year nine of the whole history of that club. They've got 30,000 members this year, which is an incredible effort. So I think they've been amazing, to be honest. They missed the eight probably last night and the week before. Melbourne, well, they've been pathetic, Melbourne. They have been a very ordinary club since Norm Smith got sacked. It's as simple as that. They have been the biggest disappointment.
That's a while ago, isn't it?
And the only guy that resurrected them, probably one or two, was Northy and Neil.
That's Danner. 66, wasn't it?
Neil Danner, 64.
Norm Smith?
64.
He gets sacked in 64.
Well, the next year.
That's a long time to be ordinary, isn't it?
They put in Checker Hughes for a week. Mm. Stan Owl sitting on the bench, if I remember rightly. Anyway, so, and then we'll Checker Hughes was my, well, he was my age, 72. And coaching Melbourne for that one week. Anyway, I know where I'm at with, I get disappointed in Melbourne more than the Melbourne supporters.
Yeah, but this is GWS though.
Yeah, I know that. No. But I'm just talking about, you know, here's one club. The established number one club, with Geelong, ever, haven't won one since 64. So why should we bag the hell out of GWS?
No. Melbourne,
you said they were very disappointed.
Yeah, very. And Melbourne also, because they played in the preliminary final 2 years ago and haven't shown anything. I was disappointed in that preliminary final they just missed out on, GWS against Footscray by a point. And I thought they'd come back stronger if they had any real character the next year and get in and win in that grand final. But they just didn't.
Well, it was 4 years ago.
That doesn't matter. They should have shown something.
Just hold on. 4 years ago, just remember, this club haven't played 200 games yet as a whole club.
Yeah, but if the players play 100 games, they're mature enough.
They haven't played many games. And when you think of what in 2016, when the Bulldogs went everywhere around Australia and won, which is a sensational effort. And, of course, here are the Giants that would have played... probably average 40 games, 30 games.
What, each?
Yeah. I've only been alive since 2012, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah, but they would have all would have played at least 100 games by the time they made the finals.
Don Scott, go and look at the history of the Hawthorn Football Club, how long it took that club to be a winning club. Till you got Jack Hale. Jack Hale appointed John Kennedy as captain, and then you got some really raw hardness into that club, and he changed your mob from... the May Blues
to
the Hawthorn. So it takes a long time to build a damn club. They've got a great song. They've got a great name. They've got a good, clean effort. I reckon the Giants have done pretty damn good. And they've got 30,000 members nearly quicker than any club.
The AFL went out of their way to make sure they were successful. And they haven't been.
They have been successful. Well, you get to a grand final, you're successful.
No, that's a fair point. That's a fair comment.
Don't
So,
go
Kevin.
And ask Ross Lyon. He's finding him hard to win. And
no, that's and a fair point. What you said then. Yeah,
right.
So I'm coming back.
Well,
to
well
this.
You better hurry because no, I'm leaving in a minute.
This is my if. You are in an advisory capacity at the Essendon Football Club.
Only in marketing.
Would you advise them to embrace the great players of Thompson and Hurd again and all is forgiven, come back and we'll start again with a new culture? Would you advise that?
Oh, look, I think that...
yes or no?
Look, I'm a big fan of Hurd, so I don't think what happened. Bomber, I honestly believe, shouldn't have brought Dank and...
Fair enough. So that's history.
Yeah. Hang on, what did you say? I didn't hear that.
Push to get them back.
I honestly think we should just move the pass back in, leave it in history, leave it on the bus stop with Forrest Gump, yeah. And move on.
So not Hurd and Thompson.
No,
probably.
They're always welcome at Essendon. Don't worry about that.
They're
welcome at Essendon
in any capacity.
Well, they're not going to be president of the club, are
no,
they?
No, but they might.
What are you talking about? They just want to have a life at the moment.
No, fair enough. I'm asking you about their life.
I'm just letting you know my answer. Give them a time, and time heals a lot of wounds.
Now, for the benefit
and you know that more than anybody with what your problem was.
For the benefit of all your fans and all the Essendon fans, just some of the great players you've been associated with and why, and some of the people who disappointed you.
I would rather have answer you that one. The most talented player that disappointed you.
Look, I thought Brad Plain should have been a better player.
Well done.
He should have been a very
number
good
12.
Player. I thought Danny Jacobs should have been a better player.
Really?
Yeah, came very good Hawthorne. Player, but lost his way. Yeah. And Andrew Lovett. I think Andrew Lovett was a brilliant footballer, won the Anzac medal, and unfortunately his career went off the rails. But I think Andrew Lovett reminded me of, wow, he had a wow factor. So there were probably three that should have been 200-game players. I'll put it that way. And I think 200 games is a great career. You know, 150 is great. Yeah, you know, I mean, Brereton and Hart, you know, smallish centre-half key forwards, you know, never got to 200 because they ballered their bodies in that very difficult position. You know, always getting injured. They're lightly framed. They're not big people.
As an elder statesman of the club, would you advise them to keep Joe Danaher, currently the talk of the Essendon town at the minute?
Well, there's only one person going to make that decision.
Yes, I know.
Who's that?
Joe.
Correct.
I'm asking for your opinion.
Ask Joe.
Would you ask Joe to stay on?
I have no opinion of the players' list because I don't work in the footy department. But if I was in the footy department, I'll give you my answer.
If you weren't employed there, you'd give us honest answers.
That's
right. Give us the real answers.
Anyway,
Joe Danaher, a required player in your opinion at Essendon?
Of course, fit and playing confident. Of course, he would be.
Well, how long? Fair enough.
He's only played 5 games or 6 games in 2 years. Why did you ask me? You know about Buddy Franklin?
I'm asking you about Derek Kickett. When you dropped him from the grand final.
Yeah.
Did you?
He actually dropped himself.
Did you
picked on form?
Today you'd be accused of racism if you did that.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
It is too. It was a.
He played the most mature.
I know. You made too many of them.
No, Kevin, it was an absolute.
My job is to win the premiership.
No,
and pick
mate,
the best
it was
team.
A tongue. It was a. Tongue in cheek.
We won by 8 goals.
And
we beat a team that beat us 4 weeks early called Carlton, and you don't often play that. A team twice in a final series.
For the record, that was a joke that about the result.
Very hard to work out when you're joking.
Renee Kink came in here one day, and probably Derek and Renee
probably
don't have a great opinion of you, but that's fair enough. And you know,
I have a very good opinion of them.
Yes,
because they changed Essendon into winning. Renee Kink helped Essendon win their first final in over a decade.
I think
Renee
he said Kink. That here.
He did.
I think he said that.
Well, he did.
No.
Because we actually got some players that have won finals to assist Madden, Nagel, Watson, Danaher's, Vanderhaar's, because they had never played in a winning final ever. Essendon hadn't been, winning one over the previous decade. So we went and got Brian Wood, Blackburn person, fantastic, one of the great players. Don't even think about that. I think he played in 4 or 5 premierships, but no one ever talks about him. Brian Wood and Renee King. Yep. And both those clubs let them go. We didn't go chasing them.
Nope.
They were being sacked by the club, and I said, well, we'll have them.
Another underrated player wanted to be remembered to you, and I wonder what your response is going to be. Russell Green.
Superstar. Made him captain of Victoria.
He said that. Well done, he said. Every time he sees it, and I was waiting for you.
He deserved to be captain of Victoria because a lot of guys never get to be captain of their clubs because they've got freaky superstars in front of them, right? When I coached Australia, I made four captains of Australia against Ireland because they were never captains of their club. And the AFL said, but they're not captains of their club. I said, well, suck it up. They're captains while I'm coaching Australia. And that was Dustin Fletcher. Halfback flanker. Chrissy Johnson, tough, ruthless halfback.
Chris Johnson, the back pocket player of Brisbane.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah,
good
back player.
Yeah, well, yeah, Vosses, you know. Mm. And Adelaide had Rusciutto. So the running half, Black Frank, the Indigenous boy. McLeod, Andrew McLeod. So Andrew McLeod, Chris Johnson, Barry Hall, and Fletcher. Four different styles of players, captains. I did not pick a captain of a club because these guys never get a chance. They'll never get a chance. But the captain of Australia in that Irish tour was fantastic for them.
Well, Greeny is very appreciative, and he's one player that is very underrated and maybe should be looked at Hall of Fame because he just turned his career around when he went to Hawthorn.
Well, we had the most underrated player we had at Richmond, I thought. Well, there was two.
Merv Kane?
Well, he's in Richmond's Hall of Fame, so I can't say that. Well, he was rated. Merv Kane's in Richmond's Hall of best team in the Hall of Fame. But Paul Sproul?
Really? Right,
Paul Sproul's a wonderful player. Played in about three or four grand finals. Mm. So I think he played one for Essendon in 68, three at Richmond, two premierships. And the other guy I don't think gets a lot of mentions is Dickie Clay.
Oh, he was a good player, Dick Clay.
I know that, but it's always, you know,
yeah.
Hart, Sheedy, Bartlett, Burke. You know, the only time you ever hear Dick Clay is, oh, that wonderful Richmond centre line, Burke, Barrett, Clay, and then you just leave Clay there. But he was a good fullback. He was a real good player.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Wing and fullback.
Now, Kevin.
I'm going.
Yeah, so, I
love
know.
Lovely to see you. It's fantastic.
So,
last question.
It is the last question.
Good.
So, when you finished the blueprint, the thesis, the synopsis of how this game should be played, will you come back and announce it on this forum?
Mate, I'm exhausted. I feel like, I mean, I can absolutely feel like Rambo in a prison cell in a war camp here. That's unbelievable.
No, you play us on a break, mate. You're making us. Kevin Sheedy.
No, I won't be coming back.
Why won't you?
It's just about the way I
tell you why you're a star.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're the most diverse and lateral and obscure coach that's probably been, and you play people on a break, and you are a legend. You've become Essendon and Richmond Football Club's team of the century, which is extraordinary when you think about it.
It took 7 years to get there, but I'm enjoying that.
But in both of their teams of the century, which means you are absolutely the marquee man of the competition, and we thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Kev.
Keep the audience, please.
Open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.